In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The very heavy and strikingly mega problematical deep passage which Josh read to us from Jude is about relapse. And that's the theme of today's address. It's relapse, because it is a theme in life at every level. You make progress in life, you make some forward movement in a little bit less narcissism, a little bit more love, and a little bit more sort of victory, you might say, and yet history and life tells us that we relapse something fierce, and there's always this terrible possibility of totally and completely falling backwards. You know, you've got a son who got arrested, right, in a DUI, and you know, chances are he's going to get arrested again. Now, you don't want to believe that, and everyone here wants to say, you know, boy, he sort of learned his lesson well, and yet there's this tremendous sort of intra-psychic pressure in people to go backwards in their life, to revert to form. You see this in people as they get older. One of the most frustrating things about living with yourself as you get older and living with people you love who are get older is that they get kind of written in stone. It's much more unusual for a person once they reach the age of about 35, not to mention 65, to really change. And one of the things you do if you spend time in nursing homes is people revert. They revert. Not everybody, but a lot of people revert. A guy in his 80s suddenly starts talking like he did when he was 16. Words coming out of her mouth that you haven't heard since she was 16, and she didn't even know she knew those words, but all of a sudden they're coming out. There's this tremendous pressure in people based upon, I guess, some kind of a Freudian DNA death wish thing that moves people back the longer they go into life. We talk about this as a second childhood, but you see it all the time. People will say to you, you know, Paul, people will tell me sometimes, whatever you do, just make sure I'm not like my mother when I'm 75. And I say, well, A, I can't do that, and B, that's an issue. But the actual fact of the matter, you know, you say this to young men when they're dating, you know, just look at a mother, and they say, oh, no. But sadly to say, in 99.9% of the cases, it's a fair judge. But you can say the same thing about the guy. I mean, look at the overweight father at Books a Million, you know, and you've got the son. Now, of course, you don't think it's going to be that way, but there's this tremendous pressure to move back with offenses, with habits, with the pressures to go back to childlike ways of thinking, especially if you've gone forward. One of the things that I see in the history of Christianity is people constantly relapse. People who embraced the Reformation in their 20s were in acute danger of relapsing in their 40s. People who come out of Judaism into Christianity, there's this tremendous pressure in their genes to pull back in later life. People who've made some tremendous advance in a way of thinking or a way of looking at life, there's this constant movement to pull you back and to crucify you on the gold cross of your own past and your own intentions and your own psychological ways. It's just happening. And if you live with somebody who's like this, you wish they weren't turning into their mother, but they are. You wish he wasn't turning into his uncle, but he is. You wish he weren't like his grandfather, but he is. And what Jude is talking about in the first century is the fact that the human condition and the Christian faith in particular is marked by relapse. So I'm asking you to think about relapse both in those you love and in yourself. And what he does, you see, a lot of the Bible we take as some kind of prescription, some kind of attack upon our fulfillment. Actually, what it usually is a description. And Jude is describing the way that people relapse and are fully capable, right up to the very end of their lives, to catapulting themselves back into tragic, infantile, aggressive, inherited ways. And it is not an attack upon fulfillment, this passage. It is a description of what happens with people. Now, what have I said? Relapse. I hope you've identified, not you obviously, but someone you know. The second thing is, this is a description, not a prescription. Now, how does he describe relapse? He starts by saying, God, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. Well, according to Jude, the essence of relapse is not believing. Now, let me explain how that works. People relapse because they don't believe that there's hope any longer. The new way is not delivered what it promises. The new way of some kind of discipline or some kind of new way of looking at life or new way of acting is too hard. And you wake up in the middle of the night and you say, I can't stand it any longer. I can't stand it any longer. Everybody here has woken up in the middle of the night sometime recently and said, I can't stand it any longer. I can't stand this job. I can't stand this man I'm married to. I cannot stand one more second having been this particular triad or with this particular dad or whatever it is. And what happens is when that happens, you lose your confidence and hope and you grasp at something else. Now, look, you remember the song by John Lennon. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right. It's all right. Now, everybody here has had a moment when you woke up in the middle of the night, I can't stand it any longer. I've got to find my own fulfillment. I've got to grab it. I'm not getting any younger. I've got to find some way out of this hole. And that is those who did not believe. Now, I'm not putting you down because I'm right there. Do you think, you know, what did Chuck Berry say? The wee, wee hours. Remember? What was that song by Frank Sinatra? Look, I don't just quote Gary Puckett up here. I'm quoting the great Gary Puckett. I'm quoting Frank Sinatra. You remember the song, The Wee Wee Hours. Who here in love, romance, thoughtfulness, and hurt, and mercy, and reflection hasn't woken up in the wee, wee hours? And you say, I cannot believe that there's anything here for me anymore. I've got to get out of this place. I just quoted the animals, but we'll leave that for later. Now, what he is doing, he is describing what happens when you lose hope, you do not believe. And then he talks about the angels. Notice they weren't the Philistines, they were the angels. And it says they fell because they could not keep their own position but left their proper dwelling. This is to say, I can't stand it any longer, so I'm going to leave a relationship with the God who's in charge, but I don't like him very much right now, and I'm going to grab it. I'm going to grab something. This is the origin of all thievery, of all white-collar crime, of all infidelity, of all bust-ups with your children, of all rebellion, of everybody who's ever moved to New York from Birmingham. All these things. You left your proper place because I can't find God here, and obviously I can find God in the East Village. Well, that is what he's describing you. There's a member of your family who did this. Obviously not you, but there's a member of your family who did this. You could not keep your own position because you no longer believed that God had a place to rest. And that's the essence of modern living. That's everybody in modern living. I've got to find my identity. I've got to grab it. And then he concludes with this extremely heavy thing about Sodom and Gomorrah. And what he means there is that all this leads to immorality. The essence of immorality is someone who has lost hope in what is given and has got to establish a new God and a new provider and a new way. I mean, I'm totally into Psycho, you know, the great masterpiece of 1961. The great masterpiece of 1961, the classic movie. Marion Crane is desperate to get out of her life and to get with the John Gavin character so they don't have to meet in hotel rooms any longer in Phoenix. You saw the movie. So she sees $40,000 and she grabs it. Now what happens is that immorality comes from grabbing, comes from no longer believing that God can give what he's promised. Now I'm not putting you down because I understand. I know this is the way it is. Everybody here has these moments of despair. It is universal, and we can only have compassion when you feel that way. I was driving in my car the other day, now that my CD player is broken, and I was listening to the oldie station, naturally, and they had this song from the disco era that came on. I forget what the song was. And this rush of feeling came over me. Because you know what an old song does? It's a rush of feeling. And I was catapulted back into a time in the 70s. And this rush of feeling, when I was filled with tremendously wrong-headed ways of thinking, and I couldn't believe this rush of feeling. I thought, oh, remember that golden time? Yeah, sure, not. But I was amazed at the power of the song to recreate a sinful understanding of life in my own head. I was amazed, and I said to myself, Jude is right. If on the way to Decatur, Alabama, I can feel this strongly about the way I thought when I was in my 20s, good Lord, we can fall at any time. Now, I'm going to... I'm going to finish this, because it's communion. The first point is that relapse is possible at all times. I mean, it's the angels, for heaven's sake. He's not talking about Abraham Lincoln, you know, or you, or a normal. I mean, if the angels could fall, you know, who is free? Is there anybody here who's not on the verge of a collapse? Or let me put it this way, who's not susceptible to, is there any non-Marion Crane, the heroine in Psycho, is there anyone who's not in that situation? Who, given the right thing, at the right moment, at the right point of despair, would snatch it like that? Well, Jude was written by the Lord God and inspired to tell us that we are able to fall totally, but not finally. And here I come to a teaching which in historical theology is called the perseverance of the saints, but you don't need to worry about the old terms. What St. Paul counters with in Romans 8 is that while a human being, everyone here, from 6 to 96, is able, sadly, to fall totally because we are susceptible in our humanity, God perseveres. And what we hear in Romans 8, and I'm so glad it's read at funerals by statute. You know, we can't choose what we read at funerals. This is not Khalil Gibran country, you know what I mean? We can't choose to read Marianne Williamson. It's a set. One of the great things about being an Episcopalian, you have to read it. Well, at least in theory. What he says is, those whom God predestinated, those he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified and sanctified. Therefore, who can separate us from the love of God? Can even death separate us from the love of God? Nay, I am convinced that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. Therefore, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And this is an enormous comfort to me. I had a grandfather who was a clergyman who everybody says that he lost his faith in his last 4 or 5 years. When I look at the photographs, what I say is I see clinical depression in his 80s. And everybody who's in their 80s, sadly, is clinically depressed. Very few exceptions. It's like 85% of people who get to that wonderful age are depressed. And when I look at the pictures, I see clinical depression. But what I'm saying is, just like you, I'm constantly aware that if God doesn't hold me and God doesn't carry me right up to the very point of physical death, then I am a total disaster. And we have to understand that we can fall totally, but never finally. And that's what I'd like you to take away from this message today. Have the realism to understand that you, just like the person you live with, is in danger at any point of pulling back into their own DNA and looking like their mother or their father or whoever it happens to be. And he who began a good work in us will complete it. You're going to say, well, Paul, tell me more how to do it. There's no how to. Tell me more what's going to happen. There's no what's going to happen. We are given in Scripture the promise that when we get to the end of the road over at St. Vincent's or Baptist Montclair, he will take us, and I'm counting on it. I'm very gun-shy because of what you said. I'm very gun-shy about humanity and certainly about me and about you, but he will do it, and I'm totally counting on that, and I ask you to count on it, and especially to count on it with that particular person right now in front of your eyes, who's pulling back into ancient patterns and is threatening to relapse. Ask God to persevere with that person. Amen.
And now let us